Virtual Community, April 2nd.
Hello, hello, everybody. I'm going to say hi just to welcome everyone who's on Facebook and to tell them that they can join in at any time. We will be starting in about 5-7 minutes, and I'm going to leave all y'all. I interrupted to say this. There was a fantastic discussion going about a song.
Baby Shark.
And I'm going to just let that be. We will be
I terminated the discussion right there.
You don't
Thanks,
scare me, Alex.
Alex, I've lived my whole life without being a witness to homicide, and you just ruined it.
Sharky side.
I hate that song. Oh God, I hate that song.
It's my fault, Alex.
Ah, well.
Marcus started it.
On accident, Alex.
All right, well, this is for you then, Marcus.
Cool, can I call out to work dead?
There you go. So everybody like my toy?
That's illegal. What are you doing, Alex?
I think we're all cracking up here.
I do. I think this is COVID crazy.
What am I doing?
Oh, that was funny, though. That was really funny.
This bodes well for the rest of the evening. At morning, well, people.
I am a little concerned here because we are having a guest today, and I feel like it's like, children, we're going to be having a guest today. I'd
be
like
sure
everyone
to
have good behavior.
We will.
Be sure to not.
We'll be good. Because
I promise I'm up to no good, and I will not be on my best behavior.
Yeah, I can assure you, Rabbi Brian, that I will not be on my best behavior either. So, you know.
Oh, I'm laughing so hard at you.
I was, and there I was. I was just telling people about what a lovely community of people we've come. And I guess, let me be fair about it. If it is really to be a community, you're all allowed to do what you're doing. So go for it.
Well,
don't touch your face.
Or anyone else's.
Hey, Rob. Good to see you.
Hi, Rob.
Hello, everyone.
We might be out of control today. This might be bad.
All right. Now, kids, just to let you know, there's our special guest. Martin, the inmates have taken over the asylum this morning.
What's unusual about that?
Thank you. I like you already, Martin.
I like you already. All right, that's it. That's my talk.
Welcome.
Goodbye.
Welcome, Martin. I'm glad you know which side we're on.
I don't know who's speaking.
It's Marcus.
Order will happen, but we're not at 11 o'clock yet, so I don't feel the need to...
No, don't.
Martin, Rabbi told us we've got to be good little children now because you're here.
So no, I'm not.
No,
I'm
not.
Problem. Now he told me to be good. Now I
can't. Rabbi Brian, I think you just signed your own death certificate today.
That's it. I'm very glad that you all feel empowered. I'm going to go back and rewatch the very first video of when you were
all when we were all shy.
I'm shedding some light on things here, guys.
What are you doing, Alex?
Behaving badly.
You know what, she's doing a plan B for if her job doesn't work out. She's going to go on the road as a comedian.
Okay.
Well, we need more of those, for sure.
Jeff, I want to thank both of you for your exemplary behavior this morning. The old teacher trick. You just praise the kids who are doing the right thing.
Okay. So
I've
now been humiliated into silence. I'm going
to
mute.
Is something afoot?
So I'm concerned. My
there
mom.
You go again, Alex.
I know. My mom just texted me. Long waits at checkout. Finally back in card. From you, I'll need bleach, pencil, a few note cards, or something similar. I said, I'm scared.
Where's your mother?
She's at Winco.
It's a supermarket.
It's a grocery store.
Well, folks who are on the Zoom call, let's say hi to Jonathan Gelb, Steve Tipaconic, Brian Rangel, Trish Oster, hey. Connie Kaur, and Heather Martin. And where are we going to tell all those people? Can you point down to the little link there so that they all know you can join us at rotb.org/community and you can interact with this group live. I don't check the Facebook stream. I did find out there's a way to move the Zoom so that it goes into Facebook or YouTube. I'm looking into that. There's a different technology we can use. Hi, Carol Ox. Glad to see you again today. And Patty
Martin,
and Ray.
Martin, where are you?
I'm in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, Canada.
Oh, nice.
Another Canadian.
Well, who's the Canadian?
Way to go.
Oh, we have plenty of Canadians, Martin.
Where?
Well,
right here.
We got Leanne, and we have Gord, and Pastor ain't here yet, but Rob.
No, but where? Sorry, we're in Canada.
I'm in Calgary.
Guelph.
And I think the pastor is as well.
In British Columbia.
I'm in London, Ontario.
I went to UWO for a bad year once.
I went to UW as well.
UW or UWO?
Waterloo.
That's Waterloo's my alma mater.
Yes, I have a computer science master's from there.
I did my first year in computer science and then when they still had punch cards.
Yeah.
I remember punch
those
cards.
Were the days.
I got to play with those in high school.
We are
well, you're ahead of us.
So Martin, what's the rest of the day look like for us?
How do you mean?
Well, I figure you're already at 4 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. You're quite ahead of us.
Yeah.
An hour ahead.
And Ruth Bernstein is here. And I got an email message from Betsy Ann who said, please tell everybody that she can't be here, but she sends her love and regards and she hopes to join us again tomorrow. And she'll definitely be at the matzah making on Sunday. So I pass that along. We are at our 11 o'clock hour, and I'm going to start this train going. I thank all of you for joining. This is a virtual community. Today is April 2nd, 2020. All the people who are on the screen, I don't know we have people who are new, but the technology still, there's a button above my head that either says speaker view or gallery view. Please push on that. If you're on a tablet or on a phone, you can swipe left and right to see different views. I try to leave everyone unmuted as much as possible so that we can interact as genuinely as a community can feel. And the chat window is being moderated today by?
Me.
By Joe, as it is always being moderated by Joe. Thank you, Joe, for doing that.
Well, I need to look at that.
Or... to the people, Margie Lindsay Stevens. Oh, hi, Margie. Good to see you. She is on Facebook. If you want to join us live, rotb.org/community, and you can join us live. Thank you guys for all being here. I'm going to take a moment just to take a breath of air so that we can center ourselves. And I have a question for everyone. Oh, hi, Alma. A question for everyone. And Alma, you, I think it might be your name is how you wind up in the top corner of my screen every day. But the question for you today is, what is one thing you do to help give yourself a sense of calm? What is one thing that you do on a daily basis that you do that can help give you a sense of calm? Is there something you do on a regular basis?
Very definitely.
What is one thing you do, Alma, that gives you a sense of calm?
I sit with my eyes closed in silence and breathe deeply.
And how long do you do that for?
Till I'm calm.
That's a very good answer. Fantastic. Marcus, what is one thing you do? Not something that you know you should do, but what is one thing that you know you have a practice of doing that helps you to remain a little bit of serenity?
Well, when my dog's not barking, when I'm feeling anxious, I usually cuddle with her or take her for a walk and just get outside and try
therapy.
to change my scenery.
Thank you. Wonderful. Joe, what's one thing that you do? And if it's something someone else has already said, that's fine. It's not a creativity contest. What's one thing that you do that can help you to feel a little more at peace?
I have music that can like bring me to different emotions. So if I'm anxious, it has to be kind of calm, instrumental, flutey sort of stuff. And the minute I put that music on, my body just slows down.
Wonderful, wonderful. Jeff, what's one thing that you do that gives you a little bit of a sense of calm, helps you to feel a little less stressed out?
I talk to myself.
You do?
I do.
Out loud?
I say, out loud. Okay, okay, this will be okay. Okay, you can do this. Okay.
It's good.
That's a fantastic nice. Thing. Do you call yourself by name?
Not usually, only I do on other things when I talk to myself, but yeah. Not when I'm stressed.
Okay, okay.
I do that when I've done something and I say, Jeff, you're an idiot.
Oh, well, we hope that doesn't happen that frequently.
Thank God it does not.
Enrique, what's one thing, one strategy you have in your tool belt, the one thing you do that helps you to stay calm?
I take a deep breath and let go. Let go of my thoughts, worries.
And you're able to do that relatively easily?
I try to.
Okay. Fantastic, fantastic. Scott and Alex, you guys are both there. What is one thing that you guys have as a tool that helps you, I mean, especially in these times, what's one thing you have that you know you can always do that helps you to stay a little calmer?
I like to mow the yard. Myself, that's me calming down.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Alex, what's one thing you do that helps you to calm down?
I like to kill my enemies. No, actually, use humor.
Humor.
Use humor.
Well, fantastic. I'm glad you have a good sense of humor. Gord, welcome back. What's one thing you do that helps you feel a little calmer?
You know, I've got a morning meditation practice, and that's a good way for me to start day.
Brings you in. Fantastic. Yeah. Emily, what's one thing you got, one tool in your tool belt?
I make my bed and make my cup of coffee.
And then that calms you down. Yeah, well, let's say it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What are you going to do then?
Well, I hug my dog.
Okay, fantastic. Rob K, the most serene man on the call, what's one thing you do that helps you to stay calm?
Play guitar.
You do? What kind of guitar do you play?
Acoustic.
And you just jam, you make up your own things, or you play you have a repertoire?
I have my own tunes, and I hum a lot as well.
I love it. Thank you. Martin Root, one thing you do that helps you to, you know, helps you to not be so stressed out. One thing calms you down.
I would say meditation as well.
And you can do that any time of day? You just...
I separate...
What did he say?
A little meditation.
Meditation. I can separate my mind. I put my mind outside. I watch the thoughts.
Yeah.
And go into my awareness. That'll do it.
Yeah.
That's great.
There's a fancy word. We came around it in the Meditation is Magic book, is metacognition, is when you get yourself thinking about your thoughts. There's a way where you separate yourself from your thoughts and you go, oh, look, that's what I'm thinking. And it's a fantastic technique. I love that. I'll tell you one that I had to do this morning. I go outside. My kids are driving me batty crazy. I actually banged the table. Because they were just throwing a puppy at each other. And I just go outside because I know I can't get mad. I can't yell at my kids if I'm outside. So it forces me to be a little calmer.
That's good.
Patty, no Ray. What do you, oh, there's Ray. Hi, Ray.
Here we are.
What do each of you do? One thing that you do to calm yourselves down?
I do meditation.
You do? Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Ray, what do you do?
In the morning, I try to write in my journal daily. Sometimes in the afternoon, I also I'll sit and play my ukulele.
That will calm you down.
Yeah.
I love it.
Get out of my mind.
Okay, good. Leanne, what's one thing that you do that helps you to stay a little more serene or calm, a practice you have?
It's breathing, but it's also, I've learned if I count and hold and count and hold, and usually I count to four, but sometimes I count to three, and sometimes I forget to count. It doesn't matter. It's just deep breaths.
And you're giving your brain something to do, and that seems to work. I love it. Carol Ox, one thing you do that helps you to stay calm?
I read six psalms a day. So at the end of the month, I have read the whole Psalter, and then I start over again.
You read psalms?
Psalms.
P-S-A-L-M-S. Yeah. That's fantastic. Good.
Wow.
Ruth Bernstein. Hi, my friend. And I want to thank you because my son needed to transcribe a recording he did of some, he did an interview, and I was like, hey, I know exactly the app he can use that will transcribe everything as he's saying it. So we put the little Otter app next to the computer. So thank you very much for saving my son's homework assignment.
Always glad to help.
What is one thing you do, Ruth Bernstein, that keeps you, gives you a little bit more calm?
I walk.
You take a walk.
At this point, I've figured out I have a terrace. So I'm walking under the terrace and then through my living room in the kitchen.
And it works.
Yeah, and then I walk for about half an hour.
Good on you. And the name of the app was Otto, O-T-T-O?
O-T-T-E-R.
Otter. Otter.
That's for Apple.
For Apple. It's a fantastic
app. O-T-T-E-R. For Android, it's Google Transcribe.
Google Transcribe, yeah. Like
It was just amazing. And I wound up, I don't know, I must have spent 10 minutes just watching the thing, and it self-corrects as it's going. And it's amazing how it's in real time transcribing every word and then changing the punctuation. As it was just really cool.
Is it for hard of hearing?
Yeah. And well, or for my son who did a whole interview with he interviewed someone and forgot to pay any attention and didn't want to have to re-listen to the whole thing. So we had it transcribed and then he could read it. It was amazing.
Say that again. So it's Otter?
Otter, O-T-T-E-R.
And you just click it in Google?
O-T-T-E-R, Otter, yeah. Like the animal.
I think the original purpose of the app was actually for making voice meeting notes.
Yeah. It transcribes by the minute. It's amazing. This is not a paid endorsement. who do I have there? Wendy, you are on mute. Can you unmute yourself and tell the question we have is what is one thing? Oh, lost. There you, what? Some, you're moving around, Wendy. Hold on 1 second. I'm gonna try that again. Wendy, what is one thing that you do that helps you to keep a little bit of calm, a practice you have that keeps you from, you feel that escalate, and what's something you can do to calm?
Yoga or Tai Chi.
And you do that at regular intervals?
Yeah, yeah.
And it works for you?
Yeah, there's even 10-minute videos on YouTube for Tai Chi.
Yeah.
Which is really great. And yeah, my internet is pretty bad, so I might disappear again.
Okay, well, I'm glad to see you for now. And Marilyn, hi, my friend. What is one practice you have, a tool that you can share that maybe other people will go, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. One thing you do that calms you down a little.
Well, I'll give you two. I just made my coffee. But also, I haven't watched General Hospital in weeks because I've been watching so much CNN, and I should watch an episode.
And that calms you down, General Hospital?
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. I love it. Pastor Mike? What is one thing that you do that keeps you a little calmer?
I write really bad haiku.
You write bad haikus. So you find yourself really, really mad and you're like 5-7-5, I'm going to write the haiku.
Yeah, because it forces the other crap out of the brain.
Yeah.
And you just sort of drill down. And then when you finish, you kind of go, okay, where am I? And you can go back out.
Yeah, I think of sometimes anger as being like a train. And once it leaves the station, it's hard. But if you can catch it early enough with doing something different. We talked about that when we talked about patience and having the little card. When you take it out, it forces your brain off to do something else. Let me ask Sherry Sirak, what is one thing you do that you know is a regular practice, a tool you have that can keep you, give you a little calm?
Yoga.
Fantastic. Okay. Good. And Derek, what's one thing you got that helps you to calm down on when you need it?
I listen to a lot of 60s folk music, and when that doesn't do it, then I sit down and play it on the keyboard or the accordion.
I love it. Good on you. Shirley Wayne, is one thing you do that helps to calm you down on a regular basis?
I go outside and I talk to the wild birds.
Okay, that's fantastic.
I've got mockingbirds and I whistle at them. They always talk back, and I'll do that for minutes till I'm totally calm.
I love that. That's great. It's amazing. Everyone's got a tool. Nobody's like, I have no idea. Hopefully, John, you have an answer too. John, what is one thing you do that keeps you, gives you a little sense of calm?
I practice a thing called serene reflection meditation.
And that's something you can do at any time?
Pretty much, yeah. You just need a quiet space.
Good. Yeah. And Denise in Tahoe, one thing that you've got, a tool?
Qigong, I do.
You do?
Yeah, and it's easy. You can do it anywhere. In a small space. And I even like at work sometimes, or when I was working, I find if I go into just, you know, one of our, and my cat, empty space rooms, I can do this little series called Tiger Mountain. And it takes like just a couple minutes, and it helps.
Wonderful. Great. Well, thank you guys all for sharing. And I'm delighted to see that everyone has at least one practice and something they know they can do. And
what do you do?
I go outside. Going outside helps. Just walking out the front door keeps me from getting angry. It cuts me off. It makes me get out of the place where I was. We're going to jump over because I got special guest Thursday. Apparently, this is becoming a thing. My special guest today is my friend Martin Root. Martin Root, I'm glad you're here. I don't know what kind of it, you and I talked yesterday, but I didn't. We didn't come up with what kind of introduction I should give of you, except you're fabulous.
That'll do.
Okay, so take it away. You have a talk you wanted to I asked you to share, and you said you'd be willing to, so go for it.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Somebody was looking for where Prince Edward Island is. It's off the east coast of Canada, an island. It's the smallest province, and it's the birthplace of Canada, for those of you who don't know. So, hi, everybody all across, I think just the U.S. and Canada, right? I don't think there are anybody from other countries. Are there?
Oh, no, we have Alma. Alma's here.
Where is she?
Shetland, United Kingdom.
Yes, okay.
Scotland.
Yes. So a little bit about me and then how I got into this, the work that I want to talk about this afternoon.
And Martin, tell me when you want me to put whichever slides up. I'll be glad to do that.
Sure, thank you. So I have two kind of backgrounds, one a spiritual and one a corporate. I've done a lot. Let me talk about the corporate one first. Some of you might have known the book Chicken Soup for the Soul, that series. So I did one of them with my wife and a friend called Chicken Soup for the Soul at Work, with stories about work that did very well. I also done a lot of work on corporate vision. Where is my company going to go in the future? So I didn't necessarily know about a particular company's industry, but I knew about how to get people out of the mindset that they were in. Then I did a lot of work on spirituality and work. I was one of the leaders, early leaders in the world that opened up this space, this conversation. And I was the chair of the board and co-founder of a center for spirituality in the workplace at St. Mary's University in Halifax, Canada, actually in the business school, which is where we wanted it to be, because we wanted to open that conversation about spirituality and the workplace globally. So we had a global mailing list, we did online courses, we had a PhD program. The center's closed, but there, two of the courses continue. Then, so some of my clients were, Virgin Records, Sony Pictures, that kind of large corporate thing. also spoke at the Harvard Business School about vision. So a very traditional upper level consulting basis. And then about 30 years ago, I was saying, I had this real crisis of the soul, and I went to, I like the rabbi, I'm also Jewish. I went to, of all places, a monastery north of Toronto, and had a very, very profound epiphany experience in which I heard a voice in my head say, it's about God. And in those days, the late 80s in Toronto, that was definitely not something you wanted to talk about, especially if you were in the corporate world. But I was fascinated by that conversation. How could we bring the topic of spirituality into this place called work? We could certainly do it in places like home and places of worship, but not in work. So we opened that conversation up. And then about 25 or 30 years ago, I was going to do a keynote address at a conference on spirituality and work in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And this thought popped into my mind. If every business in the world is spiritual, is that what you want? And I said, no. If we could transform business, because business is the temporal power in the world, then we could transform the world. And then this thought popped into my mind, oh, you mean heaven on earth? And I can remember my first thought being, oh my God, you can't say that. Can't say heaven on earth. I mean, well, you can't say that. And then I thought, well, why can't we say that? Why can't I speak about that? We can certainly speak about the hells on earth. That's permissible conversation. So why can't we talk about heaven on earth? Why can't we talk about the vision, the deep soul longing we have for the kind of life and relationships and work and world that we truly want? And so that got me into this inquiry about, well, what is heaven on earth? Not that I would come to you and say, this is heaven on earth, I know what it is and I'm going to impose this on you, because I knew that couldn't work. No matter what answer I came up with, it wasn't going to work. So instead I thought, well, what if we evoked it? Because my assumption is that you know already what heaven on earth is. And by my questioning of you, we could bring that out into your conscious awareness. So I started going around to people all over the country, Canada, US, and online, and saying, what's heaven on earth for you? What's heaven on earth for you? What's heaven on earth for you? And after doing that hundreds and hundreds of times, I was able to crystallize and synthesize three very powerful questions that I believe help people get in touch with what heaven on earth is for them and really evoke it. So I'm going to start with that first piece. I want to ask you the three questions that I discovered, and then we'll take it from there, depending on the answers that we get. Okay, so, and I'm going to take some sharing as we do this, and we'll put the questions up at the end, and I'll tell you how you can get them. Oh, but not yet. Too quick. Question one, recall a time when you experienced heaven on earth. Recall a time when you experienced heaven on earth. What was going on? We'll send you the link to the questions. You don't need to write them down unless you want to. So let me just take a couple of answers on that. How will we know that, Reb Brian? Will they'll just put their hand
they
up?
They talk. They talk a lot, this group.
All right, Marcus, a time when you experienced heaven on earth.
When I went to a retreat at Brighton Bush and I walked outside to go use the facilities and I looked up and for the first time I saw the stars, like it was like 50. I couldn't even, like they were so, like I could almost reach up and touch them. It was so bright. And I thought, wow, this is peace.
Lovely, thank you. Next. Brian, I can't see hands, so can you?
I see Ruth Bernstein. What Ruth do you got, Bernstein. My friend?
I'm walking on the beach in Sarasota, Florida, and the tide was just going out and the sun was coming down, and it was just a perfect, perfect moment.
Fabulous. Thank you. Next.
How many answers are you going to want so that they have
three or four? A couple more.
Three or four. Joe, what do you got, my friend?
I sang for my father's funeral.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yep. And I didn't know if I could, but I did. And I didn't do everything. So I just did like three things that I knew I could do. And then I sat in the pew with the family, and there was a different me, getting goosebumps. There was a different me that sang. And then after I got done singing, then I went back in the pew, and it's almost as if like I was out of body singing and heaven and earth were on the same place at the same time. And then I went back to the pew and I sat down. Oh. And then I flooded with sobbing. It was amazing.
Sweet.
And very sad, sweet. And weird. Oh. And all at the same time.
Jeff, are you moving your hand because you wanted to talk, or am I misreading you? Oh, you're muted.
You're misreading me.
I apologize. All right.
That's fine. Let's go to question two.
Question two.
Imagine that you have a magic wand, and with this wand you can have heaven on earth. What's heaven on earth?
Imagine you have a magic wand, and with it you can create heaven on earth. What is heaven on earth to you? And let's take different people's hands this time, maybe.
Yep. Go ahead, Brian. I can't.
I'll call on you. I just got to see, as soon as they move their hands, they know they're in trouble. Gord, what do you got?
For me, it would be being outside with my family. We can get up into the mountains or near a lake, be near water. I feel like I'm connecting with the sacred right there. So if I've got my family, my extended family, that's heaven.
Let's just make one slight change. Can we change the word would to is?
Interesting.
Imagine.
Okay. So imagine you have a magic wand. With it, you can create heaven on earth. What is heaven on earth to you, Derek?
I'd like to fly to California and hug my grandchildren.
Very clear.
Yeah, amen.
One more.
Patty, you had something, or is that from the last one? Oh, you're muted, my friend. Let's try that again.
That was from the last one.
Okay, sorry.
One more on this one with the magic wand. Anyone?
I can show you.
Oh, you can show us. We're going to do show and tell today. Heaven on earth is that. And tell us, what are we looking at, Jeff?
Oh, you're looking at my daughter and I walking along a beach. She had to be maybe 3 or 4 years old.
And that was heaven on earth.
Absolutely.
Very clear. All right, third question.
Back to you, Martin.
What simple, easy, concrete step will you take in the next 24 hours to have more of what heaven on earth is for you?
What simple, easy, I'll say concrete something. Step? Yeah, Marilyn.
Please.
Well, I haven't even gotten the mail in a week, and I think that going outside and getting the mail and taking out the compost and recycling and maybe going and finding an actual, like, the flowers that are blooming might help my depression. So that might add to feeling some sense of, like, well, heaven on earth, there's pretty flowers blooming, and I'm sitting in here feeling like I can't get out of bed, like, which I got out of bed when the phone died this morning.
All right, very so good. Simple, easy, concrete step. That's concrete. I love it.
Who else?
Thanks.
A simple step that you'll take has to be simple and easy, and I'll come back to why we were using those words. Simple, easy, concrete.
Shirley Wainis, it's unlike you not to have anything to say.
I know. Am I muted? Okay.
I can hear you.
A simple, easy step for me to take to feel heaven on earth is to simply hug my dog, to hold my dog and see how much she loves me and how much I love her.
Clear.
Experience.
Thank you, Shirley. All right. Let me go through the three questions again, because I want you to see the order here and why we put them the way we have. First question. Recall a time when you experienced heaven on earth. What was going on? And you notice that the people who answered But nobody asked, what do you mean by heaven on earth? Nobody says that. Nobody asked me that question. But how can you know what I'm talking about? But you do. Because if you didn't know what I was talking about, you couldn't answer the question. So that's question one. Question two, are you going to put these up?
It should be on the screen right now.
No, I've got a black and a blue line.
Okay, I tried to put it up. Hold on.
So that's question one and comment number one, which is we have had an experience of heaven on earth. And we know that because we start speaking about what it is. The second question, imagine you have a magic wand and with it you can have heaven on earth. The reason for the magic wand is to remove the necessity of having to know how you're going to do it, because that's the magic wand's job. And if you don't have to know how you're going to do it, how it's going to come about, then you can go much deeper into the what heaven on earth is for me. And imagine a room with 200-300 people each sharing what heaven on earth is for them. It is so deeply, deeply moving for everybody. It just deepens everything. So we do know what heaven on earth is. And then the third question, what simple, easy, concrete step will you take in the next 24 hours to begin making heaven on earth real? The purpose of that question is so that we don't just leave it at as heaven on earth is a great idea. We actually engage with it. And I want to underline the word simple. I was talking to a woman, I was doing one of these webinars, talking to a woman in Austria, and Elizabeth. And I said, Elizabeth, you know, what's heaven on earth for you? And she said, Austria is a heaven on earth nation. And I was so moved by that. And I said, but Elizabeth, how could you say that? And she said, well, Martin, because it's simple. And she taught me a very important lesson, folks, which is, I don't know what your simple is, but you do. And whatever that simple answer is for you, that's what I'd like you to take within the next 24 hours so that you begin to engage with and make real what heaven on earth is. And I was thinking about this conversation today, yesterday, thinking, with all the stuff going on in the world with Corona, you know, clearly the first thing we have to do is handle that, look after people's lives, make sure everybody's doing everything that we know we need to do. That's an emergency situation, address the emergency. But at the same time, if we can just seed some thoughts about what about after the pandemic? I don't think we need it. We want to go back to the kind of world we had, a world where a pandemic can break out, where the threat of nuclear wars, nuclear weapons and war is kind of always there. And clearly where the environmental crisis is always there. We need a new story, a new framework for the kind of world we want. And that's what this is about. So let me just stop there, take a couple of questions or comments, really, I'm looking for, and then I'll go into the next section. So comments from anybody?
Alma, go ahead, hon.
What you said about Austria is heaven on earth, I can work with that, because where I live, I was born in a big city with all the hustle and bustle of it. I now live in a place that, as far as I'm concerned, could be heaven on earth, because it's beautiful. I go to the beach and just stand there and feel as though I'm literally one step away from heaven. It's peaceful. Our neighbours are wonderful. I mean, we have a huge sense of community, and I don't think I could live in a better place. And I wish everybody else had the same. Experiences that I have.
You know, Alma, it's really interesting. When people speak like you about the kind of world or life they already have, which is heaven on earth for them, and listen to your last statement, I wish everybody could have that. My request is that we take that wish away from you as a wish, and you begin to start to speak about that. What can where you live teach the rest of the world about what heaven on earth is? See, that to me, that's a phenomenal conversation to begin.
Say that again. Say that again.
For you, where are you? Shetland Islands? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Right, Shetland, north of Scotland, right? Or east?
Between Scotland and Norway. A little island in the North Sea.
So in essence, what you were saying to me or to us is, for me, the Shetland Islands, the island I live on, is heaven on earth. The people, the atmosphere, the environment. And I wish you said everyone could experience the same. And my request is that that wish no longer live as a wish, but actually begin to live as something that's powerful for you in the world. So for example, you could say the Shetland Islands are an example of heaven on earth and start playing with that. We had a man, I did one of these webinars several weeks ago, 2 months ago, originally from the African country of Gabon, now living in Montreal, Canada. And when I began speaking about heaven on earth, he lit up and he said, you know, Martin, I've always wanted to do something for my continent as well as my country, but my continent of Africa. And he said, this is it. And so he started a Facebook group called Africa, a heaven on earth continent. So you might want to do the same thing, Alma, for Shetland Islands. Shetland Islands, a heaven on earth, I don't know what the geographic term is, but group of islands. And take that out to other people around the world. Look at your face, it's smiling.
Normal expression.
That's an expression of somebody in heaven on earth. All right, anybody, any other comments? All right, so what...
We had a comment from Jeff coming in.
I think what you're really talking about is serenity. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you're in a place that you feel so at peace, so to speak, that you can... I mean, I find that when I go to the Caribbean and like I'll go to St. Martin and I'll just lie on the beach for a day. And I feel just one with myself as much as one with everything else, yeah, of just being in the moment. So if that's what I'm wondering, this heaven on earth, is that a serenity thing?
All right, let's speak about that. So what you will begin to notice, if you keep asking and asking these three questions of thousands of people, is there are what I call gateways, ways that people see how heaven on earth can show up. For you, I want to suggest that your gateway is a value, living a global value, in your case called serenity. Mine is harmony. My wife's is joy. Our friend of ours is order. So living that global value, imagine if that global value was lived around the world, that would be heaven on earth for you. Clear? Okay. So
yes.
Thank you. I wanted to do one other thing that Rabbi Brian asked me to do, which is we wanted to talk a little bit about heaven as well. And when I began this conversation years ago, the thing that really that I wanted to do was explore heaven on earth. So I knew what on was and I knew what earth was, but I didn't know, and I wanted to explore what is heaven. And as I went around speaking to people and asking people, what's heaven, what's not heaven on earth, but heaven, what's heaven, what's heaven, what's heaven? The answers that kept coming up over and over and over were, heaven is the place you go after death. Heaven is up there with God and the angels. But the context of almost every answer was not here, not now. And that intrigued me. Why can't we have heaven here on earth? Where does it say anywhere that we should have war or pandemics or economic strife or the threat of nuclear war? I don't think the Bible says that, even in the original Hebrew. So I was fascinated by the notion that this is heaven and we've forgotten it. I went back to the Bible, the Old Testament, and I'm Jewish as the rabbi is, and I'm assuming some other may be. In Genesis, God said, here's the Garden of Eden, everything's fine, wonderful. The only thing that I do not want you to do is eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did, and they got kicked out. So I was fascinated by the verbs, because in Genesis in Hebrew, there's two verbs that are used, vayeshlech and vaygaresh. Vaygaresh means to be sent out. And in Orthodox Judaism, a man and a woman can divorce by the man sending the woman out of the house, garesh. So, but I phoned a rabbi, an Orthodox rabbi, and I said, look, let's suppose, God forbid, but let's suppose my wife and I want to get divorced and I send her out of the house. Okay. I said, but wait a minute. If she doesn't get remarried and I don't get remarried and we want to get remarried again, can't we do that? And he said, well, yeah, you can. So I said, so the verb is not one way. And he said, no, it's not one way. That was staggering for me. The other verb is vayishlech, which means to send out with a mission. I want to suggest that the mission is for us to turn this consciously into heaven on earth. And that you, each of you, can play the part, can play your part by doing something very, very simple to begin. It has to be simple, it has to be easy, it has to be concrete, or you wouldn't do it. It's too, quote, overwhelming. So that's why this little thing, like, so we had a woman in Hawaii who put her definition of heaven on earth at the end of every email she sends out. I have a cop, police officer in Texas, who's written a 16-page manual on how to bring heaven on earth into law enforcement. A spiritual group in Sacramento, California, for those of you who are involved in the clergy in some way or religion, on the website, projectheavenonearth.com, there's a, in resources, you can go and get a, I think it's a 28-page manual on how to bring heaven on earth into your congregation, whether, whatever congregation, whatever kind of congregation that is. A real estate agent who was very concerned about homelessness and has created a program, interagency, called A Home for Everyone, wherein each agent was asked and agreed that $100 would come off every commission check every time they sold a home or a business. They've raised over $400,000 in, I think, about 8 or 10 years. And they have an award every year for the group or groups that do the most to provide a home for everyone. So I don't know. So we go from a woman who puts her email, puts her definition of heaven on earth on the end of every email, all the way up to a woman who's taken on Austria, her own nation, as a heaven on earth nation, to a man who's taken on his continent. What all of those people have in common is their answer, their contribution was something that they thought of as simple to do. I've begun to discover more and more the power of that word simple, because when you discover what your simple is, you will tend to do it. And your contribution, you're doing that with the consciousness of this is my contribution to heaven on earth, begins to change the story of what it means to be a human and what it means to be humanity. So I think we're in an interregnum period right now. For me personally, you know, humanity and the environment have said, stop. This is a wonderful time for retreat and reflection and looking at, okay, what kind of life and world do I want once I come out of this? And make a simple change. That's, again, the power of this. Let me stop there and take some comments or questions.
Thank you, Martin. I so want to give everyone a homework assignment, which is to tell us what is that one thing you're going to do in the next 24 hours.
Answer the three questions specifically, and then tell us the number one thing, the thing you're going to do. Brilliant homework assignment.
Anyone want to be done with their homework right now? Who's got a simple thing they can do? You've heard.
No, they will do.
What's a simple thing that you are going to do in the next, well, today? What's something you're going to do before bedtime today that's going to help to bring about heaven on earth?
Talk to my family about this.
Amen. Ask Rob K., you passed the class.
Ask them the three questions. But
yes.
Don't expect their answers to be your answers. Okay.
Expect their answers to be their answers.
Excellento.
Yes.
Who else has got one?
I like that one.
Okay. Do that one, Emily. Marcus, you had your hand up. Marcus, what are you going to do in the next, before bedtime?
Reach out to the people that I've been reaching out to and making sure that they have what they need, because the last few days I've withdrawn from that. And I think in order for my version of heaven on earth, it's not just about what will make me happy, but also about making sure that my neighbors and friends and strangers are also taken care of, you know?
Oh, yeah. Marcus, let me just make one little addition. So you could reach out and talk to them the way you were going to do that, or you could reach out and talk to them, same action, but now with the context of, and this action is part of my contribution consciously to heaven on earth. Get the difference? Amen. Huge difference, huge difference.
I do get the difference. Thank you, Martin.
Who else has got, I see heads nodding. Patty, what do you have?
At our church,
and then Enrique,
started,
then Shirley. Go ahead, say it again, Patty.
At our church, we've started a circle of care related to this pandemic. And we each have 6 to 8 people that we're connecting with for whatever reason. I think I'm going to ask these questions of them and see what kind of responses I get.
Fabulous.
Enrique?
I'm sharing this whole thing, this whole idea with my wife, first of all. And then make it come up to, you know, to this idea of making heaven on earth to other people as well.
Thank you, Enrique.
Shirley?
Yeah, I think I'm repeating what was just said. Today, my plan was to go get groceries for a friend through my church that had a stroke. And I can add to that and say to extend kindness where I can.
Lovely. Very lovely. Thank you.
Ruth?
Since this thing started, I've been writing a newsletter for the group that I belong to, for people with hearing loss, and sharing jokes and interesting websites, so that people are not only focusing on the virus, they're focusing on things way out of that.
Thank you. Brian, can you show the website address as well?
It was already put up there, projectheavenonearth.com.
It was right in the chat. I have a question. So if you do the same thing, but with a different intention, the intention being part of that heaven on earth, that you might have a different outcome?
That's a good question, Marilyn.
That's a very good question. I believe long-term you will. Part of what creates heaven on earth is the declaration. Like, so when I started this and I got the idea, oh my God, I'm going to do heaven on earth. But when you really think about it, it's a declaration. I say I'm going to do heaven on earth. And I begin. And some of the things that have come out of this have been mind-boggling. With the guy in for Africa. And also, Brian said somebody here has a PhD. There's a guy in Toronto getting his PhD in heaven on earth.
Did I see you on Oprah talking about this ever?
Only in your mind, baby. And that's in my mind too.
Okay. Hey, it's part of my heaven on earth.
Amen.
I love it. Hold that thought. Hold that intention. That is part of my intention. Oh, and here's
Project Heaven on Earth.
So there's also, I just put up on the screen, the book.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful book with a lot of answers and a lot of, and 3 questions.
Let me talk a little bit about the book because it's interesting. If you look at the title is Project Heaven on Earth, but the title is also Project Heaven on Earth.
Mm. Oh, I didn't know that.
It's a verb and a noun, both.
Uh-huh.
So, the book, the basis of the book is the 3 questions I asked you. And then as I've done that thousands of times, I come into the gateways. So the gateways are, we heard one before, living a global value, having your relationships be heaven on earth, ending a particular suffering in the world, creating an artistic expression of heaven on earth, taking on your nation as heaven on earth. And also this here now is heaven on earth. So we go through each of the major gateways, and by the time you're done, you'll know what your heaven on earth project is. There's a whole chapter on examples of what people are doing, their quotes. And for this particular group, I wanted to see what the faith traditions have to say about this. So I hired this guy who had his master's, I think was going for his PhD, it was years ago, in religious studies. And I said, go and find out what the major religions have to say about this. Buddhism, Christianity, Islam, so on, so on. He didn't listen to me. I thought he would come back with like five or six major religions. He came back and with like 14 different religions and spiritual paths. And I didn't know how to handle that. I mean, does Christianity come before Zoroastrianism? What I decided was, and it came to me in a flash of insight one day, what if we put quotes from each of those traditions, faith traditions, in alphabetical order by faith tradition? So that chapter talks about what the faith traditions in alphabetical order say about heaven on earth. And it's pretty amazing, pretty amazing. So that's what the book's about. Yes.
Were there many similarities?
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
We're at a time here. So let's, if you have one or two more questions for Martin, otherwise, you know what time it is. It's I want to hear back from people. What's one thing that you got, you spent 50 minutes here. What's something that you could put on an index card and you could say, this is something that I learned today. This is something I'm going to take with me. This is something that changed. This was worth it because I got this. What's your this today? What's the thing that you got today? Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I can really envision my heaven on earth, you know, and I hadn't really thought of that, but now I can really think about that and express that. So
thank you.
I'm really happy about that.
Wonderful, wonderful. Who else has got something they're taking? What else? What'd you get? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I need to undo some things about what I used to think before I can embrace what Martin is talking about.
So will you do that?
Yes, absolutely, I will do that, yes.
Thank you.
Who else is, let's take two, three more comments. Marcus, what's something you got?
That when put in simple terms, creating heaven on earth is not as unattainable as you might think it is.
Amen.
That's the secret. You just said it. We think that it's too huge, too impossible, therefore we won't do it, but it's not. Very well said.
I'm going to call on me. Okay, me. Great.
You.
I re-saw today that it's like I had forgotten it's here now. We're in a pandemic. It can't be here now.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it is. It has to be. And if it doesn't exist now, then it don't exist.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I only call on myself when I got a good answer. Yeah, Enrique. Yeah.
To me, I summarized it in two sentences. Not only the kingdom of heaven is among you, but also the kingdom of heaven is within you.
Yeah, it's right. Mm-hmm.
I think both of those are true. It's a both and.
Yes, yes,
yes.
Well said. Thank you.
And we have anyone who hasn't given an answer today, who hasn't talked, who would like to? Go ahead, Ray. I'm sorry, Emily. Ray raised his hand. So
that's all right.
Going with him. Go ahead. You got to unmute. Go ahead, Ray.
Okay. I think that taking what you consider as heaven on earth, maybe a little part of it, and seeing how you can put that out into the world so that it can spread. Just love or appreciation or doing simple things for people without expecting anything back.
Lovely. Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, Ray.
I'm going to give everyone some homework. And I want you to look, if you can see all the, we got 23 people on the screen right this moment. It's like this. It's up to you. I don't mean to put too much pressure on you, but it's on the fate of the world's in your hands.
Well said.
Yes,
it is.
Sorry. You shouldn't have shown up today if you didn't want that. Martin, I want to thank you for-
Too much pressure.
No, too bad, dude. You signed up. You're here. Tomorrow, we're going to do this again. Martin, thank you for being a special guest on the virtual community live thing. Everyone give Martin some waves and some love.
Thank you, Martin.
I love you. I appreciate it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
On the website, projecthavenotherlife.com, you can also sign up for
my free
7-day course, and you'll get a weekly blog for free to make this. We want to normalize this conversation globally.
So go to heavenonearth.com. Project Heaven on Earth. And then, folks, you know, it's some of you, I think this is your favorite time of the entire thing. And here's the thing, how we end. I'm going to unmute everybody. Everyone get a chance to blow kisses. I'll see you in 23 hours.
Thank you, Rabbi Brian. Hello.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye, Alma.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye, Martin. Come back.
Thank you. I'd love to.
Oh, yeah.
Bye, Barry. Bye.
Meditation helps people gain clarity and calm, but the instructions on how to meditate are often constricting, confusing, boring. Well, they suck. I'm Rabbi Brian Zachary Mayer, and this is Meditation is Magic. Join as I teach Stallion and Dragon a bit about mindfulness and the four-letter secret to meditation. Have you ever thought, I wish meditation were as simple as magic? Now it is. Meditation is magic.
Meditation is magic is parental advisory, explicit content. Teens, make certain to advise your parents. I want to learn meditation with Meditation is Magic. It's explicit, fancy word for clear. Also, the horse dropped the F-bomb.